tax avoidance and evasion has been in the headlines all week. MPs are to investigate allegations that HSBC, Swiss Private Bank, helped clients dodge tax. Ed Miliband and David Cameron have been clashing on tax. Labour making claims in Parliament about dodgy donors supporting the Tory party. But here's the question we're asking today. Is tax avoidance morally wrong? Now, of course, there's a difference between tax evasion and tax avoidance. Tax evasion is illegal. Tax avoidance is when people use accountants, and sometimes tax avoidance can be very, very aggressive indeed in order to avoid tax. Let's speak to Charlie Wolfe this morning, the commentator who's with us. Good morning to you, Charlie.
Good morning, Stephen.
Anything wrong with tax avoidance?
Not at all. No, you have a right to follow the law. You have a duty to follow the law. And if you're avoiding tax, it means you are working to the law to your advantage. There is nothing wrong with that. I think you have a duty if you're a company and you're using other people's money to pay as little tax as possible to make sure that goes back to the investors or to help keep prices down. And the thing that really annoys me is why does this topic keep coming up? And the reason is because...
Well, because, Charlie, some people think it's actually the right thing to do to pay their fair share of tax because they understand that that's what pays for hospitals, that's what pays for the roads, that's what pays for your kids to be educated.
Define fair share.
Well,
how do you define fair share?
Well, working within the spirit of what you know the rules to be.
All right, and that's what these people are doing. They are working to the rules. The rules are there. If you don't like it, change the law. Simplify the tax system. But the thing is, here's the interesting thing. Every study I've seen is when, and I'm talking about the top 1%, when tax rates go up, revenue goes down. If revenue is what you want, lower the rates, simplify things, widen tax bans, and stop making... these people ought to be criminals. They're doing what they feel is right and which is right. They're following the law to their advantage.
The tax expert Richard Murphy with us this morning as well, an economist. What do you make of what Charlie said, Richard?
Well, what a load of rubbish, if I can be totally honest. Sorry to be so blunt, but we have to be. Let's be clear about it. Tax avoidance is not following the law. This absurd idea that we have to follow the law, does that mean that when the speed limit is 30 miles an hour, I have to drive 30 miles an hour because smoking is legal, I must smoke? No, let's not be stupid about this. The reality is that the law is always going to set guidelines for behaviour. It is never going to be precise. It's written in words. We can all misunderstand words. We all know that from our normal life. We've all ended up with problems because we've misunderstood something that somebody says. So the truth is we have to interpret what the law says, and when we do that, we are bound to bring to the question our ethics. When we do so, we need moral guidance. This argument, for example, that companies must minimise their tax bill is absolutely legally wrong, let alone factually wrong. Legally it's wrong because company law says, in fact, company directors must take into account their employees, the environment, other stakeholders, that's you, me.
But that's nothing to do with tax.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Nothing to do with tax. I've never heard something as absurd as saying that the analogy is I have to drive at 30 miles an hour.
No, you said we must follow the... Hang on,
Charlie. What I'm doing is I'm following the law. I have not broken the law.
Hang on a minute. Let's just talk about what the law is. The law now very clearly provides the possibility that tax avoidance is also illegal. So you're wrong on that point too. How do I know?
That's silly.
Let's just talk facts. Stephen, if I'm going to be on this program, will you let me talk?
If you really
Charlie,
want to
if you're
hold
going
on,
to be
hold on, right, hold on, you two.
Talk.
Right, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Tax, then what you do,
Charlie, if I'm
hold
going
on.
To be on
both
this program,
you,
I'm going
okay,
to
Okay, stop. Both of you stop.
Right.
Right, Richard Murphy, you finish your point, then you can come in, Charlie. Richard Murphy.
It is not true that tax avoidance is necessarily legal now. The reason is that we have in UK law a general anti-abuse rule whose whole purpose is to tackle certain parts of avoidance behaviour. How do I know? Well, actually, because I helped write that. George Osborne appointed me to the committee that created that law. And that law is quite specific. If there is behaviour that is not reasonable, even though it's legal, it is possible to overrule it. In other words, UK law now says that there is no such thing as this divide, avoidance equals legal, evasion equals illegal. That has gone. That's history.
Well, then,
now let's move on to the
well,
real world.
Therefore, Richard, how do people know if they're working within the law or not?
Yeah, Stephen, that's the scariest thing I've ever heard. The law is basically what the government decides on the day. You know, if I'm following the law of the land as written in the tax code and taking advice from my accountant, and now he's saying, oh, no, someone's just deciding that it's abusive. Well, define abusive.
The abuse?
These loopholes are put there for a reason by the government.
They are not put there for a reason.
To do something. Yes, well, they're there. The government,
Charlie, can we just have a sensible conversation here? Nobody puts a loophole in law to be abused. The fact is that if an outcome of the combination of loopholes is something that the government very clearly never intended, then we must have law to prevent people abusing it. We know people have abused it. We know that is actually free riding. It is trying to get the advantages of living in a state without paying for it. That is cheating on everybody else. If that isn't unethical, I'm not sure what is, and therefore when we come back to the subject of this morning's debate as to whether tax avoidance is ethical or not, tax avoidance is fundamentally unethical, case proven, but actually it is not also about the government making up the law on the day. Very clearly, there are legal protections in here. Judges have to decide what is reasonable at the end of the day. It is not down to the government to decide.
Go on, Charlie.
And the test is reasonableness. Would a reasonable person think that this was abusive or not? And actually, every accountant can tell that. I promise you they can, and they know when they're doing it precisely because they have to tell their client this may not work. When
well,
they say
fine.
That,
listen,
they know it's abusive.
Jim, I have no problem with that. But as long as it is watertight, legally done. For 2 years, I lived in the Republic of Ireland, and very legally, taking advice from not one accountant but two, I didn't pay a stitch of tax, and I was happy about it because it saved me a lot of money.
Yeah, and presumably, Charlie, while you were in the Republic of Ireland, you used lots of their public services. Who was paying for that? And if you had taken a heart attack and needed to go to a hospital, who was paying for the heart machine? Who was paying for the doctors and the nurses while you were trying to avoid paying tax?
My concern is to do what was legally right.
For heaven's sake, this is the same argument as was used by the prisoners of Nelson Mandela, for example.
Oh, please.
It was legally right to imprison a man because he was black. Let's not.
It had nothing. I don't know where you're coming from. These are the most absurd arguments. I followed the law. It was legally sound and watertight. And I had every right to do that and to take advantage of the position I was in. So
the outcome was thoroughly antisocial, unethical, and free-riding on the rest of the people, many of whom might be listening to this program.
But Charlie, is freeloading, which is what you were doing, is that ethical?
No, I wasn't freeloading because I was working and contributing to the state by creating wealth for my employer, which went into the economy.
But you're using their services, you're using their roads, you're using their health system, presumably.
I very rarely used the help.
Well, whatever it was, you could have used it, for goodness sake.
But the thing is, still, I was doing what was legal. I was fortunate to be in a position where I could legally do that, so I did it. You know, listen, this is not an ethical question. To me, tax is a function of the state. Now, if you want to set up a system that funds the state that's simple and brings in revenue, great. I don't have a problem with that.
How did you make the decision that it was okay? Are you saying that decision did not engage any form of ethic at all, that you live in some void which has never previously been known to mankind, where a decision can be made without the consultation of your conscience? Is that
well, you forget that I'm still paying VAT and other local taxes. But again, as far as income tax was concerned, I didn't
answer
have to
my
pay
question.
Tax in the United Kingdom. I didn't have to pay tax in Ireland because I remitted funds. I took advice. It was legal. And otherwise, I couldn't have taken the job because the Irish tax rates were so high, my employer couldn't have afforded to bring me over.
That was my question.
I finally took the job was because of the tax position. And wait, let me also point out.
What is your question, Richard?
My question was very simple. In making that decision to not pay tax, did you never once engage your conscience? Because I will tell you, of course you did. Actually, the very fact you're on here trying to justify it shows you engaged your conscience.
I have no problem with it.
You have no conscience. Yeah, fine. Okay, that's what you're claiming.
It's for the same reason when companies decide where they're going to place their business, they especially people who are filming, go to certain places where they get tax breaks.
And that is precisely why, Charlie.
To do it.
That is precisely why next week I will be in Paris seeking to negotiate ways with the OECD that we prevent that international abuse.
Well, but you know, but you're
hold on, 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 you two. So, for example, Richard, what Charlie was just touching upon there is that the Northern Ireland film industry, for example, has been very, very successful indeed. Part of that's been down to very hard work by people in government bringing that investment into Northern Ireland. But governments are allowed to incentivise, Richard, as they've done through the filming scheme here in Northern Ireland. They're allowed to incentivise certain industries and certain sectors of industry to come to areas of the UK. That's what enterprise zones are, for goodness sake.
Well, hang on a minute, though. Actually, they're not always allowed to do that. Let's be clear about it.
Well, they do do it.
Yes, they do.
No, hang on. I said they're not always allowed to do that.
But it's a form of tax avoidance, isn't it?
Well, it's a government-sponsored form of industrial policy. No, it's a government-sponsored form of industrial policy. The person who uses it is very clearly operating precisely within the spirit of the law. The law can itself be wrong. You were not operating.
No, of course I was. I could not have taken the job. I could not have afforded what my employer wanted to pay me.
I couldn't care less whether you were working within the spirit of the law or not, Charlie, because it's not about you this morning.
No, precisely.
But Richard, working within the spirit of the law, I'm working within the law. Surely.
No, hang on. Let's differentiate the cases here. One is one situation you're talking about is an individual deciding whether they are going to work within the spirit of the law or not. Another is whether a government is promoting a law that is consistent with international obligations. And if it has promoted a law which is not consistent with international obligations, and a perfect example is the UK's patent box rules, which it is having to revise because it is very clear that they abused EU law and they have been cracked down on and we are now having to change them. And in the past, the Republic's 10% tax rate was also considered an abuse international law and it had to change it, then in that situation it is governments who have to act. That is fundamentally different from an individual deciding to try to get round the law. Now, both obviously are important, but they're not the same thing, so let's not confuse them.
Okay, here's Pat in West Belfast. Morning, Pat.
How you doing?
Go ahead, Pat.
How you doing? The whole issue around the tax, I heard the word morality been used as well. The government... Let's start from the beginning. A couple of years ago, there was a Commons inquiry into taxation owned by the big three or four conglomerates. And there was a mention of $26 billion money that had not been collected. What had happened there was the government recognised that this money was owed, but the tax people failed to collect it. That's number one. Number two, there are people who are getting monies from various sources who are not paying the initial tax on it. It's leaving the country and it's going into these various banks in Switzerland and wherever. And the third one is that what the minor people do, that you and me do, is we put money in various places and we don't claim that we have made money on the interest of the money that was originally taxed. So to me, that's the three things that go on. And the biggest problem I find is I watched an interview with an ex-metropolitan policeman, a fraud squad, and when he was asked about certain things, he said that in fact was fraud. And then was asked why he hadn't gone into the city to charge people in the banking industry with fraud. And his answer was said simply that the Chancellor of the Exchequer has to invite the fraud squad into the city. So there's a big, massive, massive cover-up and an evasion of law by the law people and those held responsible by us to see that the business of day-to-day living in the system keeps going.
All right, Pat, thank you. Here's Frank in Dromore. Morning, Frank.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, three questions to Richard, right? Number one...
What's wrong with your phone this morning? You sound as if you're screaming down it.
That phone's... That's Alex.
Go ahead.
Hello. Three questions to Richard. Number one is the simplification of the tax would solve a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. And whether people are realising that, the tax system is devised for the well-off. It's not devised for me, the working person. It's devised for the well-off so that they can do what they do. And at the end of the day, if you're not entitled to pay the tax, would you pay the tax, Stephen?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch the last point. Would I pay the tax too if I had...
What I'm saying is the tax system
is designed
devised
for the well-off, yeah.
For the well-off. It's not devised for me and for the like of me and the rest of us who's just on normal wages.
Yeah, I agree.
Dregs for the well-off who can do what seemingly they're doing. And at the end of the day, if the law says you pay X amount of pounds tax, would you or Stephen or anybody else say, no, I tell you what, I give extra?
Well, look, let's come back to the two questions you asked. First of all, you talked about tax simplification. That is a nightmare solution to this. It will not work. I sound very good, doesn't it? But actually, if you create a simple tax system, you just have a system which has massive loopholes in it rather than tiny loopholes.
Well, you can
hold it, Richard. Richard, can I stop you there? The word is in simplifying it. Now, loopholes, they can be looked at before it's simplified. This is what happens to government and people who have money. They tell you these things, things can't be simplified because it makes it harder. Now, in my English language, simplify means simplify.
Yeah, it's a different discussion,
now,
this, though, isn't it?
Can I give you an example of a simple tax law? Let's talk about the fact that we decided, this is completely bizarre, but it's also very simple. We will give a tax relief to all people who are over 6 foot tall. Okay? It sounds very simple, doesn't it? Except for the fact that in the morning we are taller than we are in the evening. Does six
no, because
you,
again, Richard, you're basically going off on a tangent. That is not
I'm
simple.
I'm not going off on
that
a tangent. Actually, I'm pointing out that the moment you write a simple
you sound like an
no,
economist.
No,
We're all going off on a tangent. I'll tell you why we're going off on a tangent. The discussion this morning isn't about is the tax law too simplistic, too complicated, and should it be simplified. What we're talking about today are those people who go out of their way to try to minimise their tax bill.
Okay,
some people would say, Charlie Wolf, I'll come back in a second, mm-hmm. Richard, some people would say that's what you employ an accountant for,
exactly.
to try to minimise your tax bill.
Exactly.
Stephen, do you have an accountant, Stephen?
Yes, I do.
Right, and you pay your accountant to do your tax returns, and he tells you what you're entitled to claim and what you're not entitled to claim, and you say, right, go ahead, that's it, finished.
No.
Right. Is that right or wrong?
I pay my accountant to keep me legally right and to advise me,
and to advise me on tax law.
Of course,
pay the tax you're due to pay, Stephen. You don't turn around and say to him, "Hold it, Mr. Accountant. I think maybe I should be paying a wee bit more. Have you got the figures wrong there?"
And that's the point, Charlie.
Yeah, and actually,
can I just come in there? I was an accountant for 15 years, a senior partner of a firm of accountants. I know something about the accountant-client relationship as a result. And you know what? I ran a firm where actually we quite consciously said, we won't minimise your tax bill. There are schemes out there that we would never dream of using. If you want to use them, you can go elsewhere, but we're not going to do it. Because actually, what you need to do when you're in business is concentrate all your efforts on meeting your customers' needs, developing the products and services they want, and not spend your life obsessing about the tax bill. What we
no,
will do
is
hang on, let me finish the point. We tried to make sure the clients paid the proper amount of tax. We didn't abuse anything. And we told people if the revenue came along, there would be very little chance at all they'd find anything to hide. In other words, they could sleep easy at night and concentrate on making money. Now, that is what accountants should be doing. But the fact is that they're so bad at knowing how to help people make money in this country, and they really are, they spend their time thinking up tax deals, and that's really harmful for our country. So accountants have got their whole function wrong.
Okay, go on, Charlie.
Well, no, that's not my accountant, because my accountant gives me solid advice, and I take that advice. But I do take every single exemption or write-off that I possibly can, because I'll pay what I owe.
And I don't
feel there's an ethical reason that I should give more than what I owe. I don't go into the pound shop and give them £2 because it's more ethically sound. There's a certain value. There's a law that's written. I play to the law. I don't see a problem with that. Tax is a function of the state. There are things the state does. I don't have a problem with the state collecting tax for the defense of the realm and to ensure life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we also have to wonder, why is this always such an argument, and why is it you always hear politicians? Why did it take 20, 30 minutes of question time last night? Because these guys don't work in business. I say this not in a personal sense, but they're leeches. They're looking for money so they can spend.
Heaven's sake.
And I think I have a right.
Leeching society.
Of course they're leeching. You know, the size of
NHS is leeching society. Education is leeching society. Providing the roads on which you drive is leeching society.
Come on, would you stop with the stupid analogy?
I'm not. That's the reality.
Massive. The size of the state is massive, and why should I have to pay more than I need to?
So now we come to the real argument, which is actually you hate the state, you hate the choices that people have
I
made
don't hate
in the
state.
Ballot box,
no, I
you don't want to pay to be
function,
part of society.
But again,
fine.
there's no match on it. There's nothing keeping the state from growing and growing and growing.
Well,
and
it's called a ballot box.
And this is why, and that's why I vote the way I do, but this is why you guys are making this a supposed moral issue. It's a guilt trip. And it's not a guilt trip.
It's
people have a right to pay as little tax as possible. And that's what they should be doing.
Democratic choice about how much we want the state to supply. And people want the NHS. People want their children educated. People want pensions. People want a social security safety net.
Okay.
They want transport. They want defense. They want the police. They want the fire service.
Yeah, but, you know,
well,
no,
some people,
the
you mentioned pensions there, of course, Richard.
Yeah.
Some people put money into a pension in order to avoid paying tax
at
the moment. That's what some people do. They divert money into pensions because they know there's a tax break associated with them, Richard.
Yeah,
you know that.
You can't get that.
Here's the irony.
Hold on, Richard Murphy.
People put money into a pension because they have to give up cash now and they may get it back in the future. There is, therefore, a true economic substance to what they do.
But they get a tax break.
Yes, indeed they do. And they're taxed also when it comes out, by and large. Now, that is exactly what our democratically elected government decided to do to spread the burden of providing for pensions for old age. They give the tax break because that way they hope fewer people will be dependent on the state pension.
If you follow that to its logical end, Richard, could you not argue that the democratically elected government is choosing not to close the tax loopholes?
Look, that is exactly why we have a general anti-abuse rule in this country. That is why we're closing down artificial tax avoidance schemes. That is why the government is chasing people who've signed up for them. It is nonsense to say they're not trying. Are they doing enough? No, I would like an office for tax responsibility in this country, for example, to make sure HM Revenue and Customs do a better job than I think evidence shows they're doing.
Okay.
But the truth is, of course they're trying to shut these things down. But there are some very antisocial people who consider it their job to find ways around the law to undermine the system so that the people who are listening to this programme do not get the services they expect.
Here's Joan Burnbridge. Morning, Joe.
Hello, Stephen. I could ask Charlie a question or talk to Charlie, whatever possible.
Yeah.
Hi, say good morning to him.
Good morning.
Hello, Charlie.
Hi.
That's Joe here, Charlie. How you doing?
Good, Joe. Go ahead.
Tell you, Charlie, I'm 60. I'm actually 60 today, Friday 13th, but up to 58 years of age, I won't pay tax all my life. I was happy. I loved to pay tax because I knew I'd want the sick children things I got. But I'll tell you what happened to me, Charlie. A fortnight ago, I'd go from Attica to Belfast. When I was down in Belfast, I was walking around Belfast and I seen this man walking towards me with a friend. This man had a white stick. He was blind. And I thought, God help me. I went on around the corner and I seen this woman pushing a child, a crippled child in a wheelchair. And I was got a feeling of thanks that I paid my taxes and I'm glad I did pay my taxes. How would you have felt if you walked past those two people? Answer me.
I'm not quite sure what the point. I mean, listen, I don't have a problem with
a human being, and was proud to pay my tax. I'm not sitting gloating that I didn't pay tax. And when I seen, I have a conscience. When I seen that poor kid who was blind with a white walking stick, and I seen a child, a couple of child in a wheelchair getting paid by his mommy, I was glad that I paid my tax. And you should be ashamed to gloat that you didn't pay any tax. Now answer me.
But I give to charity, which I think is generally more effective.
Charlie, how would you have felt walking past that blind man and walking past that crippled child, knowing that you said you paid no tax? How do you feel?
Well, I don't think that's such a bother to me because, again, I pay why am I going to pay money when I don't have to?
Hold on. Joe, you've asked him a question.
You're not a human being.
Joe, you've asked him a question. Let's then reply.
It has nothing to do with whether I'm a human being or not. It's for the 2 years I was living in the Republic, I was in a position where I could soundly, watertightly, no sort of moving things around in some sort of aggressive avoidance.
You've no conscience. Down in Southern Ireland, God bless people. Down in Southern Ireland, there's children that's crippled. Your money could have went to help them people.
But Joe, there's a presumption. There's a presumption in your. Hold on. What are you all on this morning? You're all hyper this morning.
Danny Conte, you have no conscience. We tell you, Charlie, I'm a proud grandad. I'm a proud father, and I've loads of mates down the town. I would reckon you have very few mates because there's not one ounce of a human being about you.
Well, no, but you see, you forget there's a complicated system here, and you're looking at one slice
of
it.
No complicated.
Joe, hold on. Charlie Wolf. Joe, we're going to take you out. You got to let me chair this. Yeah. If you don't, I'll just bin you. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, again, my argument would be that by going over there, I brought in more employment and more revenue for my employer, who paid tax on that money, and I boosted the Irish economy. It was worth it to them to bring me over. It was important for them to bring me over. I couldn't have come over paying Irish tax. What they wanted was too high. Enabled me to contribute to society in Ireland.
There's also a presumption, Richard Murphy. There's also a presumption in your logic and indeed in our last callers. And it's not for me to say whether this is right or wrong, but there's a presumption, Richard, in what you're saying, that government will always be efficient with the money that they collect through taxes. In other words, that you are drawing a direct correlation between those people who definitely pay into the tax system and that will nearly automatically improve hospitals, automatically improve roads. Of course, we all know, Richard, that governments are very, very good at wasting money.
Look, we're all very good at wasting money. Have you never wasted any money, Stephen? Have you never been in a business that has never made a mistake and never wasted money? We're human beings. Of course things go wrong. Let's talk about the real world. Yeah, people are actually real, live, living human beings are engaged by government to use their best efforts to do a job on behalf of the government. They're no different. Absolutely not one element of their gene makeup is fundamentally different from the people who work in the private sector. And they've all got the best interest of their employers at heart. This nonsense that a person is bad in the state sector and good in the private sector is just rubbish. Yeah, mistakes happen. But the fact is we have a ballot box. Now, the truth is no party which puts forward no NHS, no state education, no pension, etc., which would be the consequence of Charlie's position, will ever win an election anywhere in Europe, let alone Northern Ireland. And therefore, that option is simply not available. Why? Because people want the state to use its best efforts, which will be imperfect, to try to deliver the services they want. But can I just go back to what Charlie just said? What he's virtually representing is that it was an act of charity on his part to go to Ireland and not pay the Republic and not pay tax.
It wasn't an act of charity, it was an act of business.
What he actually did was use the domicile rule. What he's clearly explaining is that he went there for a couple of years from somewhere outside, I guess it's the States. He went there for a couple of years, he used the domicile rule to pay no tax. So he used an accident of his birth to make sure he didn't have to pay tax in Ireland. Should we have people not paying tax on the basis of an accident of birth? My suggestion is very definitely.
Final word to you, Charlie.
Hey, listen,
you've 20
Mick
seconds.
Mick Jagger for 2 years. That was fantastic. I literally, loved it. I was Mick Jagger. I was a tax exile. If I don't have to pay tax and I can save money, I don't make great amounts of money. I'm going to do what I can to save it. It's the same reason why I keep receipts on every can of Coke and every penny I spend that's related to business, because I want to save my money. There's a legal structure of tax. I keep to it. I use it to my advantage, and everybody else should.
Okay.
That's why it's there.
Richard and Charlie, interesting discussion this morning. Thank you very much indeed.